You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
If you'd like to reach us on our off-air number, you can call us at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. You also can visit our website at DougHaldeman.com, DougHaldeman.com. We'll also post the audio from all of these, all the segments from the show. Within 3 or 4 days after the show airs, you'll be able to go back and listen to any of the segments that you wish.
All right. Well, Doug, you teased into buying and selling a home at the same time. You know, that can be a very, very scary moment for people trying to make that decision whether I should buy first or sell first. I have a lot of what-ifs going on in my brain. So what if I buy a new house, but my old one hasn't sold? What if I sell my old house and I can't find a new one? You know, what if? So do I need to worry, because I have a feeling I'd go completely crazy in this process?
Well, okay, so don't worry. Yeah, you don't have to worry as long as you take the time to think through these things and understand what the different options are and have contingency plans in place. Mm-hmm. So depending on your particular situation, it may make more sense for you to buy first and then sell your old house. Or sometimes it's just the opposite, but it's really a case-to-case basis, depending on how much equity you have, depending on your finances, depending on a lot of different factors.
So let's dig into this. What are some factors to consider if I buy first and then sell?
Okay, so if you buy your next house before you sell your current home is your question. So here are some different factors. So the benefits are is that you can search for the new home without the pressure of having your old one sold.
Okay.
That is a good benefit. Mm-hmm. And there's no need for interim housing.
So explain that.
Okay, so if you sell your house first, you either have to find a new house immediately to try to get it under contract, and you may not have time to negotiate a very good deal, or you have to sell your house and go find housing in the meantime until you find the right deal.
Okay.
And that's something we can go into a little bit more about interim housing and some of the different options there.
Okay.
What you do have on the downside, though, if you end up buying your next house first before you sell your current home, is you have the risk of double mortgage payments.
Boy, that one scares me.
Right. Well, and it should. And I've been there. I've done it both ways.
Okay.
And one of my move from what was already a pretty big house that I should have never moved out of in the first place to my dream home, my castle, that was a huge, huge mistake that I never should have bought. But I not only bought a house that I should, that was too big that I shouldn't have bought in the first place, but I bought it before I sold my previous home.
What kind of pressure were you under?
Oh, yeah. So I went 6 months with $1.4 million in loans that I'm paying out. So 6 months of overlapping mortgage payments. It was crazy.
I couldn't sleep.
So then I'm not only am I making double mortgage payments, you have to be sure that you could afford it for a long period of time.
Because you really don't know how long that is, though.
Well, however long you think it's going to be, you better be prepared you better be prepared to at least double it.
Yeah.
Okay, what does worst case scenario look like?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be prepared for that. And then also you're keeping up two houses.
That's true. I didn't even think about that, but you've got to keep it maintained and all that.
So not only am I having to, the house that I was selling had a 3-acre lot. So I'm having to continue to pay to get that lawn mowed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the listing went on so long, the leaves fall. And now I have to, to get leaves raked. I'm going over there continually cleaning and just all kinds of things that happen. And if you want to leave that house staged, then you're not bringing all of your furniture with you either.
Right.
So you have furniture between two houses, some possessions between two houses. There are some complications with it. But the freedom is, if you can afford it. So I have two clients right now that are in really good financial positions. And one of them is building a house before he sells his old home. He's getting it built. And now he's actually going to rent out his old house. The other one is just buying the new house. And this guy can easily afford it. It's just not a concern for him to have two payments. It's not a not a big deal at all for him to do that.
Right. Well, that'd be nice. We're not there. So what other factor do we have in that?
Okay, so let's look at if you instead of buying first and then selling, let's look at if you sell first and then you buy.
Right.
Okay, so here's one of the benefits is that, well, I guess in the previous scenario where you buy first and then you sell, the equity from your current home
you
is unknown
know what that is,
because
right.
it hasn't sold yet.
Right.
So you better buy based on the thought process that you don't need that equity, mm-hmm. Or you better really underestimate the amount of equity that you're going to need right. from it.
So now we're to selling first and then buying.
Right. So if you want to sell first,
fits my personality a little more.
Right. So here's what happens then. So one is the equity is immediately available, assuming that mm-hmm. it closes. Okay. Then there's no double mortgage payments, so that's good.
Whoosh.
You don't have the risk of having the interim housing, so that's a good thing mm-hmm. that you can move right from one house to the next house.
Right.
And the pressure to buy sometimes can lead to rash decisions. So let me give you an example
okay.
here is that if somebody, your house is for sale and you want to sell it first, okay, somebody comes and they write a contract on it. Okay, now that they write a contract on it, they want to close in 45 days.
Okay. So I have 45 days to find a house.
Well, you don't have 45 days to find a house. You have 45 days to close
Ooh,
on a house.
That's true. Good point. Okay.
So that means you better find a house within the next 15 days or so.
Mm.
In this market, that's not always easy because there's a shortage of housing mm-hmm. in certain price ranges.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to really get ahead of the game and be watching. That's where home scoutings come in really handy for people
yeah.
is they use home scouting. When their house is for sale, they'll use home scouting to be able to really scout out the next property and know
right.
exactly what's available. And one of the things they can do, so here's one of the options is if you want to sell your house first, you can go look for the next house and you can write a contract on it contingent upon the sale of your current home.
So the contingency
right.
of selling.
Okay. Right. So that can be a contingency and you can have the contingency that you're going to sell your house. Now, what that does is it reduces your bargaining power with the seller.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Because if I'm a seller and somebody writes me an offer that's a contingent, it's contingent upon them selling their house. Now, from 2008 through about 2012, sellers wouldn't take that because houses weren't selling. It was a total buyer's market.
I see.
And houses wouldn't sell. Now sellers will take a contingent offer sometimes.
Because the market's moving faster.
Right. But there are two types of contingencies that's important differentiation. Okay, one type is a contingent contract with a kickout clause, and that's a common one. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not heard of that. Mm-mm.
Okay, so contingent with kickout. What that means is that if they get another buyer that comes in, so their house basically stays listed, and people will keep still looking at it. They'll still do showings. Someone else writes them an offer that's not contingent, then they can kick out your contract. They'll give you typically about 48 hours to
right.
firm up your contract and drop your contingency. Otherwise, you lose the house.
You lose it.
Then there are contingent without kickout. Okay, so when that happens, they'll usually give you, let's say, 90 days as a maximum to sell your house before they would cancel the contract on you.
Okay.
Because nobody's going to let you keep it under contract forever.
Right, right, right.
Because they need to make plans on where they're going to go.
All right. So what are some things I can do, like if I'm going to be selling my house, whether or not I'm going to buy first and then sell or sell first then buy, what are some things I can do to my current home to get me on the way?
Well, first thing is clean it up. Clean that sucker up from top to bottom. That there is nothing better to sell a house than a spotless house.
Okay.
And when I say spotless, not just clean, but organized also.
So getting rid of, you see those Rubbermaid things. Oh, we need more stuff.
Right.
You know.
Right. Get a pod delivered. Start to clean out your stuff. Start to thin it out. Start to have your rummage sales now. Start to list stuff on Craigslist. Just start to get rid of all those
right.
things that you don't need.
Right. And then fix what you can, too. That's because that's the other thing is that there's all these little things that you might need to do to be able to get it show ready.
Right. I'd even encourage having an inspector come in and inspect the house. I don't encourage having an appraisal done, but I do encourage having an inspection done.
That's a good point because those are two totally different things.
Two very different mm-hmm. things. And I've seen several people waste the money on an appraisal, but that's not the best. It's not the best use of $375. I'd rather spend $300 to have a home inspector come in and give me a list so I know. I mean, that's going to give a total checklist.
Right. It's a honey-do list that
right.
your honey didn't have to do.
Right. And frequently you can get the buyer to use that same inspection.
Right.
Although that just gives you – it does give you the honey-do list to know what are the things that the buyer's
be.
Inspection
right. –
what are the things that are going to be a deal killer?
Right.
Okay, that's
right.
important things to know.
Right. So what advice could you give individuals about the whole buying and selling process? What would be the first thing you would tell them to do at this stage?
Okay,
stage?
So the first thing I would tell them to do if they're considering this is to get professional advice. Okay, you have to get professional advice to look at your financial scenario. Okay, that professional advice may involve your financial advisor. If you have a financial advisor that you really can call on and trust, because they help manage the asset side. The second professional that I'd advise is...
Call
me, because I'm a debt strategist. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't believe in just helping people take on the largest debt of their life in a mortgage with that and just leave it alone. Right. I think I have a responsibility to help people professionally manage that debt. Okay, I want to make sure that people have the lowest blended interest rate on all of their debts. Okay, and what I'll do is sit down and look at someone's debt scenario and figure out how should they restructure it so that they have the lowest debt. They pay the least amount of interest over time on all of their debt, because they don't. Right. There's a natural tendency to want to take all of the equity from your current home and put it as down payment on the next house.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently, right. That's not the best solution. I see people want to do that when they have a 7% car loan and they have $10,000 in credit
right.
card debt.
You'll give them a total overview of the credit cards or the interest rates, the highest
right.
rate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. What is the best scenario? So if you'd like to set up a consultation for me to give you a free mortgage review, or review your mortgage, and I'll also give you a free debt strategy and help you become a move-up home buyer. So sell your current home and buy the next one. I'll do a strategy for you for free. Just reach out and contact me. You can call or text at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. And you also can look up our information at DougHaldeman.com to get in contact with me. So I'll also ask the question, could the buy and bail guidelines keep you from buying your next home? Well, coming up, we'll help you stay out of the buy and bail trap. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.